For two decades, artist David Greenberger, best known for 32 years of his periodical The Duplex Planet, has been exploring the ways in which music can be wedded to spoken monologues. With A Strong Dog, his New York-based ensemble, he's now put it all together. Greenberger's archives of conversations with elderly at meal sites, community centers, assisted living, nursing homes, and private residences are the basis for the new text explored in his new CD, So Tough. David Greenberger and A Strong Dog will be at Cafe Lena on Friday, the 31st of May, for a performance at 8 o'clock. The CD is now out, and it's a great pleasure to welcome David Greenberger back to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
It is a delight to have you here. How did Strong Dog come to be?
I thought it would be a nice change to have an ensemble that lived close to me. I tend to do these projects for different museums and universities and cultural institutions around the country. And when I create one of these works, sometimes as an artist residency, I'll work with an ensemble based in that area, like in Portland, Oregon, and Chattanooga, Tennessee. So wouldn't it be nice if people lived nearby? Let's see what that would be like. I'd known all of them for a while and sort of pulled this trio together, and it's worked out well, and we created a whole new body of work for it.
So a house band, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we practice in the house. Yeah, sometimes the house band brings to mind that you accompany whoever comes along. But
yes,
this is very specific to just this. I don't know that A Strong Dog would ever wander off on their own.
No, but yeah. but you have them close by, and if you are going to perform locally, then
they are there. Yeah.
That's a good idea. So yeah. it's Kevin Mall, it's Mitch Throop and Matthew
Loiacono. Mitch Troop.
Loiacono.
Yeah, Loiacono and Mitch Troop.
Mm-hmm. Mitch Troop. So how did the three of you get together?
I'd known all of them for various amounts of times over the last 25 years. I've known Kevin for years. Kevin's played with all sorts of people in the area. He plays with the Luster Kings, but he used to play with Robin and Linda Williams. He was always on Prairie Home Companion and toured with them. Mitch has played with the Neanderthals and Commander Cody, and he plays in the Cash Band. And then Matthew is known sometimes as Matthew Carefully, and was in the Kamikaze Hearts.
When you decided, you've been doing, as I mentioned in the introduction, you've been doing a Duplex Planet and telling these stories and going into these various sites and centers and talking to the elderly for a long time. Talk to us a little bit about how the musical component came to be, of how did you feel that there was just something that could be added to the material with the music?
I did. Well, I think it started about 20 plus years ago when I did a spoken word project, and I was approached about doing this recording, and I worked with Terry Adams from NRBQ, did the music, and that led to me sort of wondering further how music could be more fully integrated into the spoken word as opposed to being background. There's a lot of things, a lot of radio things too, where there'll be music and it's faded up and back. And
right.
I really wanted to have something where the music was integrated not in the way that sort of beatnik poetry was done, but in a real specific way, more like Peter and the Wolf, where it was really, if it got quieter, it's because the arrangement got quieter. And so I've continued to explore that with, 15 or so albums over the years and different ensembles. And A Strong Dog is just, the kind of the latest version of bringing everything I know to bear on that.
What do you think it adds to the text, to the story?
I favor narratives that are what I like to call fractured narratives. So they don't tie up neatly, and they're character driven rather than story driven. You couldn't really easily tell it to somebody else. Those are the kinds of things that I like, and I think that music really helps create an emotional setting. It creates kind of the architecture, the house that this character is in a kind of vibrant way. That the music on its own would seem like it was missing a foreground element, and the text on its own would seem rather fragmented. So I specifically work with things that I develop with the music.
Let's talk about some of the tracks on here. The Age I Am.
I told you already, probably. I've got a good wife. She's really wonderful. And that's a blessing. And our sons are nice, too. My wife drives the car. I don't drive anymore, which doesn't bother me now. It makes me think about my parents and how they got older. I mean, I didn't worship them, or they weren't heroes, but I lived with them growing up. I could see in my Aunt Elsie. She lived with us too when I was growing up, and I saw her getting older. What happens is I end up forgetting who specifically was I talked to, so I'm not calling that name right to mind. But that one, I believe, was from a conversation with somebody that I had when I was doing a project for Jay Allison for Atlantic Public Media about eight years ago, and that was somebody I'd talked to in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And I would go back into this text. I continue to go back to text and find new things in it, and I'll find kind of a kernel of something that I'll expand sometimes or abstract. I think that one of the things that I especially like to do that the music enables me to do is an element of abstraction. It's not a documentary about the person that I spoke with, but I try to find a more universal kind of component that so it's a portrait based on somebody, but not a specific portrait of them.
And this ultimately comes to a general understanding. This person sort of deals with things and figures it out, and there's a peace and understanding there.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I could go find my original tapes and see what that conversation, where that led. But then ultimately, this thing takes on a life of its own separate from that. So it was based on my having spent time privately with that person, talking with them.
So the context then becomes solely the piece.
That's right.
My eats, my sleeps.
My eats, my sleeps. My eats, my sleeps. My eats, my sleeps. My eats, my sleeps.
I like any kind of weather. I don't go out much, though. I don't think I've been down to the corner more than a half a dozen times since I've been here. There's nothing to attract my attention out there.
My eats, my sleeps.
That one, actually, I remember specifically who that was. It was a man. I worked at a nursing home for just a couple years, 1979 to 81 or so, in Boston after I was out of art school. And there was a man there by the name of Arthur Brown, who was 96 years old. And he never said that much, but as time has gone on and I'm doing these pieces with music, I'm finding that it doesn't take very much sometimes for me to be able to build something from it, especially as they're becoming more song-like sometimes. So he basically just said, I don't really do much. I just, you know, keep track of my eats and my sleeps. You know, he was just 96 years old and happy to just sit in a chair.
And that line then sticks with you, and then that becomes the thing, right? I mean, that's almost how you reference it in your mind.
Right. Well, that was something that sort of sat there without me having realized what that was until I was doing more with music, and I start finding more sort of musical hooks in it. And so that one phrase, my eats, my sleeps, grabbed me, even though I'd seen it for years in this short bit of text I had.
And very percussion-driven within the track. Presented on the
stage. So I mean, once we got that chorus going, it started to present. Then there's an influence back and forth. The music sometimes influences the way in which I deliver the text, and the other way around too.
Are you still collecting those experiences, going out and talking to people? Is that still a part of your work?
When there's a specific project, like last year, I was out in Wisconsin doing a artist residency for the Kohler Museum in Sheboygan, so I was out there for a couple weeks talking with elderly in Sheboygan. For this piece that I did for the Kohler and presented there with a band and everything on stage.
And from the elderly and from the people you're talking to, you're looking for what? What is the ultimate, how much of a facilitator are you in the conversation?
Quite a bit. I mean, I think of what I do as being conversations as opposed to interviews, so I feel like I need to put myself in there, and I want the material that I get, the things that they say, I want to be unique to a conversation with me, you know, so that it has the richness of a conversation. And I think that having done this now for a long time, the one common thread through it all is it's about the nature of relationships. You know, I go in, I meet somebody I haven't seen before, and I try and put myself there and have a good conversation with them and have a meaningful time together, because conversation really is really just a way for two people to be in the same place at the same time. And we forget most of the conversations that we have, but we remember, we have kind of an emotional memory of the person based on having used language to sort of pass through time together for 20 minutes or an hour.
And what kind of voice does it give the elderly population, do you think?
I feel like it gives voice to the idea that the notion of decline or being in a smaller orbit is a part of our lives. So I think that one of the things I try and overcome is the idea that people think of elderly as other, but elderly are us.
Right.
I mean, we will be that. So it's this common human experience. And I like the idea of meeting people who I didn't know before and not treating them as a repository of their past and finding out what they did before, but just conversing in the moment the way I would with anybody who I meet who's my age, and just taking it from there, seeing where it goes.
So not tapping into what it is they were, but into what they are now.
Yeah, I think that ultimately that's the most meaningful starting point for a conversation. You can't have a conversation without drawing on things from before that conversation. And the more sedentary your life has become and the less sort of things that are coming in, the more you'll go to that. Plus, our culture sort of encourages the idea that you relive your glory years in a way. So that's one of the examples that's out there that people grow into.
And then how, in your mind, does it then become an artistic pursuit? I mean, obviously there's the musical aspect of it, but in even just picking the text. In the sense of for you, you have a conversation, and then how do you look at it to see it as becoming, it's no longer just that conversation in that context, but it now becomes an artistic pursuit.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it as painting, really. I was a painter, and I think of it as I ultimately take all these different elements that are like wet paint, and I've got text in front of me, I've got musicians with me, and we start trying to figure out a piece, and the musicians might start, if you put more than one musician in a room, somebody will start playing something, and I'll say, I like that rhythm that the drummer's doing. I want to do something with that, and so I'll, to myself, be reading through maybe six or eight bits of text in front of me, start to get an idea and say, that was great, but stop when I get to this, and then you come in with the organ part or, you know, whatever the instruments are. And by going through that, a few times, we start to map out where these short pieces, they're song-length pieces, really 2 minutes, and inside of, a half hour or something, it comes together, and then we make another one and while the paint dries on that one.
Friday night at 8 o'clock, you'll be at Cafe Lena and doing a lot from the new CD.
That's right,
and that's a perfect venue for you, I would think, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice sized room. This sort of stuff doesn't work well like outside.
Yeah,
and it's a nice listening room, so it'll be good.
David Greenberger and a strong dog at Cafe Lena on Friday night, the 31st of May. And the name of the new CD is So Tough, and people can find that by going to your website, which is duplexplanet.com.
That's right. Thank you.
Duplexplanet.com. David, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Again, David Greenberger's new CD is So Tough, David Greenberger and a Strong Dog, and the performance is this Friday night at Cafe Lena. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.